Have you heard that tune that goes na da na da 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 da, right? Na da 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 da. That's what Lent seems to be for some people. It's like, oh no, you're suffering under the weight of that big obligation, you know, of taking some time and doing away with coffee, you know, or whatever it is that we do away with. Sometimes it's meat, sometimes it's whatever it is, right? It's like, oh, you know, this is so bad. What a song. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think that that is the reality of this celebration of Lent. And like Ruth said, it's a celebration of a spring. It should be a celebration of joy. For me, it's been a great time to journey with Christ and ponder and wonder about His love for us. How is it that we have come to this place where we can have a relationship with this one and only God? How did He invite us? How is it that it happens that we can enjoy His love for us? Some of you know Paul Rowe, the minister in this church, the Messianic church. And I've had some conversations with him these days about Easter. It's been a great exercise because he's challenging me about the things that we celebrate and we take for granted, and then I'm challenging him back. You see, most have this idea that Easter is the day of celebration. But actually is way more than that. Yes, Easter is coming. That's true. That's why we're here in Palm Sunday, right? And we are eager. We are excited. Lent is over. We are looking forward to that Easter celebration. That resurrection, which is on the verge of being a reality. But there is much more. And that's why I like the way it was celebrated way back when, you know, in the olden days. Even when I was growing up, we celebrated Holy Week. Anybody? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't raised here in the States. I come from a different cultural perspective, but it was Holy Week, right? We took a week off, you know, nobody worked, and it was like everybody was on vacation. No, I'm kidding. people were actually paying attention and trying to gather what did it mean for our Lord not only to rise up, but to teach us, to lead us into understanding about God, to help us in our walk. Holy Week. And Holy Week started, it would start in a day like today, right? Palm Sunday. And we also call it so because Jesus enters the city, or at least this is traditionally when we celebrate that. And he enters the city of Jerusalem with acclamation, with all of the hosannas, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the real reason, they are there in that city, and in that scenario, is because of the Passover celebration. Now, of course, Passover is rooted deep in that Hebrew people's tradition and conscience. it is a scene that is laid out for us in Exodus. And I like to read an excerpt of that. It says on verse 14 in Exodus 12. Yes. This is the day. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. Right? We mentioned that quite a bit here. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Now, somebody knows what perpetual means? Forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from their houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a solemn assembly, and on the seventh day a solemn assembly. No work shall be done in those days, only what everyone must eat, that alone may be prepared by you. You shall observe the festival of unleavened bread, for on this day, this very day, I brought your companies out of the land of Egypt. You shall observe this day throughout your generations as a perpetual ordinance. In the first month, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day, you shall eat unleavened bread. For 7 days, no unleavened bread shall be found in your house. No leavened bread shall be found in your houses. For whoever eats that what is unleavened shall be cut off from the congregation, whether an alien or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your settlements, you shall eat unleavened bread. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Israel. And I know that we think of ourselves as New Testament people. Christians, right? Now we're in Christ. So we put the law aside and we include in the law all of these festivals and all this thing. But he says, this is to be a perpetual ordinance. So that got me scratching my head. I don't know if it does to you. But we see it as a day of remembrance, which is what we do in communion, right? It's a time of remembrance of Jesus our Lord. And it's also a festival to the Lord. It's a perpetual celebration. And then remember that day when the firstborn of every family was spared from the 10th plague. Am I speaking Chinese here? Or you all remember that, right? Have you read that scene? The Lord saved Israel from Egypt. And this was the turning point of that liberation. It was the culmination, right, of that event. But so it is also the culmination of the celebration of Passover and the Passover meal, which corresponds to our Maundy Thursday plug, right? We're going to celebrate that this Thursday here. So I invite you to bring a salad. Let's join together and celebrate. Now, whenever the people would flock to Jerusalem and these feasts, you know, there's 7 feasts that traditionally are celebrated in the Jewish understanding and tradition. They would sing and read psalms. The psalms are hymns, and they are also readings that they used in worship. And this is where this psalm comes into play. Psalm 118 comes from the 5th book of the Psalms. A little didactic moment here. Psalms is divided into 5 books. Because there's too many chapters. No, I'm just kidding. Because there are different applications for each one of these sets of Psalms. And perhaps you notice the emphasis that I made on verses 26 and 27, where it stated that blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord, right? Remember that, right? And this is what people were shouting during that glorious entrance of Jesus Christ and what we call the triumphal entry to the city, right? People are shouting, blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. And that story is found in all Gospels. Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. They all spell that event. So people in that time knew these texts. They knew Psalm 118. Obviously, they were using that to celebrate the entry of Jesus Christ to the city. And note why they were using palm leaves. It says, bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Bind the festal procession. I was thinking about that. You know, what is it that made it special for them to create an environment, a route even of entry to the city for celebration? And why would they use branches? They literally were expressing the words of this psalm which was read in worship. So, I mean, there's a lot of symbolism, right? Engaged and connected with that. And since there were, and I think that there still are, a lot of palm trees in Jerusalem, and because John tells us that it was palm branches that they used, although all the other Gospels only say that they were branches, right? But since John says it, okay, let's do it. That's why we use these. These are the symbols of that celebration for us. But they were not just waving them. They were laying them down as Jesus entered the city. And I was thinking, okay, so Lord, what's going on here? Why is it so significant that they were doing this? They probably have been doing this all along their lives. But this time, there was this one that came through which prompted them to do it as he was entering the city. They knew these texts. Another Holy Week reference comes from the Psalm on verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And we read in Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43, we read this. It says, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's amazing in our eyes. I mean, Jesus himself is saying, like, don't you know? Therefore, I tell you, says verse 43, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. Yikes. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever language like this appears in Scripture, I go like, oh, not me, right? But let's remember, this scenario that comes to us is something we need to pay attention to, because this was Passover celebration, we know about that, and Jesus is infusing this celebration with new meaning. right? By his suffering and his death and also his resurrection. But I need to say this. Jesus did not celebrate Easter. Right? That was not what he was celebrating. He was celebrating the Passover. He was celebrating something that the Hebrew people knew and which marked them for life. And as a matter of fact, that title Easter is a little questionable. It's a little odd. When I came to the States, I always was like, what do you celebrate? Easter? Bunnies? And eggs? I could never understand it. In my culture, in our heritage, we celebrate Holy Week. Easter is not anywhere in our vocabulary as we celebrate this. Now, I found out because Paul made sure that I knew. That actually, the title Easter comes from a celebration of a goddess Ishtar, which is not necessarily a good thing. I kept insisting with him, we do not celebrate Ishtar. We don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes. His question was, so why do you call it Easter? And to that, I had no answer for. So we celebrate all of Holy Week. And we celebrate it as a remembrance of his passion, of his death, and his resurrection. But we also celebrate the fact that he is the one that came. He is the cornerstone. Right? That the builders rejected. Now he has come to us. And Palm Sunday indicates a point in this specific celebration, this 7-day feast of the unleavened bread. It lets us know that it is a celebration of Passover, as we've repeated several times, and I just wanted to make that point to you. And Passover, a celebration of freedom from slavery. A liberation from oppression. And I don't know about you all, but if I had been set free, I would not celebrate by singing, na, 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 like, right? That would not be my celebration song. As a matter of fact, I think I would be celebrating more with something like, forever, God is great. Right? Forever, God is great. He has loved me when I was unlovable. And I am free. I'm free of all the chains that were holding me down. Right? All of my sin, all of the things that I had done and I will do have been set on the cross. Hallelujah. And they have been put to death so that I can live. And I don't know about you, but if that is the case, then, right? Smile, because you are free. It's a joy. It's a matter of gratefulness. It's an acknowledgement of our King. It is laying down our cloaks at His feet. It is putting all these branches so that He can come all the way to the altar. The altar of God. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for you. And for me, now in other traditions, and I'll be done in 3 more minutes. In other traditions, this time is a time of being somber. Especially as we go into that Maundy Thursday. Because, of course, we are looking into a time where Jesus Christ is going to be put to the test. It's not pretty. And for that, we have the movie, The Passion, right? Which we sometimes use to wake us up to that fact. But as we celebrate even that, it is important for us to realize that this is not a bad thing. It is time for us to think of it as a good thing that God has done for us. And if it is, then there has to be some time, some aspect of self-examination to see if we thus are producing fruits of the kingdom that we are celebrating. Are you with me now? Amen. It is time for us to set our sights on Christ and see what He is doing. And remember that God took the people out of Egypt and He has taken us out of our circumstances and our sin. And if that is the case, then we are called. We are then called. This is the part that a lot of people don't want to hear. You see, because it's very good to receive freedom. I didn't hear one amen. It's good. Amen. Right? Amen. But when we receive freedom, that comes with some responsibility. Yes. Don't you think? What is that responsibility? Jesus said that His kingdom, He was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were saying, man, whatever. Right? That's a today expression. We understand that? You know, whatever, man. What are you doing here? You're messing us all up. You're coming here and you're healing people? You came into the temple and you turned all these tables around? You're messing with the order of things. What in the world are you doing? And He comes back to them and He says, well, remember that stone that is rejected? You know the verse. And I tell you, that's what's going to happen with those. They will be given to those who are producing the fruits of the kingdom. So I guess this is a call to us. Even Palm Sunday and this celebration is not just a matter of where's my palm? Right? It's not just a matter of we're free. We're free. We're glad. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you have done. There's a part that we still need to bring to the table. And we are called. Matthew 23:39 says, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that was puzzling. You will not see me again until. So I guess he's making an allusion to that day when Jesus will be back and He will enter the city. It is in Revelation. As a matter of fact, another plug, after next week, after our Easter celebration. Oh. You didn't notice that, right? We will enter into a study of Revelations. Fun. You will not see me again until you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." So we don't have Jesus with us. But what do we have? We have a Spirit of God. And He is going to guide us. He's going to guide us in all wisdom. He's going to guide us in all righteousness. He's going to tell us what those fruits are about. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. Because without it, I'd be lost. So let us pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that you have given the people of Israel. And thank you for the freedom that you have given us. The freedom to walk in righteousness and to follow you. Not of our own efforts, like Paul said last week and when we were studying his word. Not in our own capabilities and the things that we have done or accomplished or can do. But because we can be embedded in you when we become your sons and daughters. Because we can journey with you. And because that is more valuable than anything that we can do. But we need God. We need that guidance. We need you to show us, to follow you to the point where we can produce those fruits of the kingdom. Because we want to be a witness to this world. So that they can know also the freedom that we can share. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will enlighten us, that you will renew our spirits, that you would give us the energy, the focus, direction to do the work of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.